Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we start today's episode, we would like to welcome our three brand new patrons. We have Claire,
Sarah.
Okay, I fucked up. I'm so sorry. Okay, I say Rhianne, right?
Yeah. I just want to say Claire.
You want to say Claire.
She wants Claire. I'll take Sarah. You've got Rhianne.
Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for joining this fine-tuned ship.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. Maureen, I'm noticing a very, very beautiful necklace.
Oh, yeah. I saw that picture online and it is so gorgeous.
I love your necklace, Maureen. You're looking very, can I say glamorous?
Yeah.
It was a whole £1, Alison.
Where did you get that from for £1?
There's a charity shop, I'm not going to say where, I go to every few months and everything is a pound. And it's a real bargain. So I bought a couple of necklaces. This is my favourite one. It really works on the podcast. But if you look at my Instagram, it's a very glitzy necklace, very pretty necklace. And I was like, how much is this? They went, a pound. Because sometimes they put things up to like £2 or £3.
And oh,
I was like,
okay. Maureen, what would you have done if it had been £2 or £3?
I still would have gone for the £2.
Would you? Wow, that's an investment then.
Because it looks really glam. So.
It does. It looks like good quality too. Because when I was looking online, I was like, oh, look at all those crystals and look at, it's beautiful.
Mm.
I mean, Maureen, it's got a real Cleopatra vibe to it. Hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where are your sphinxes? That's not a euphemism.
Well, I've had an interesting week because I had to go to the dentist. That was fun. And then I had an optician's appointment and it turns out I've got the beginning of cataracts.
Hey, hey, that's not uncommon, though. I think we all get cataracts.
I think everyone gets cataracts. I think my mum had cataracts. But the only thing with cataracts that's really annoying is you have to wait until you're almost blind before they can operate.
To do them, yeah.
I mean, she was saying these are like the slow progressing ones and it won't happen for like, I think, 9-10 years or something. I thought, great. At that point, the NHS will be privatised. But
Maureen, look on the bloody bright side.
Look on the bright side while you still can.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Alison.
Maureen's immediately gone to, well, there won't be an NHS, so I'll have to pay. What a nightmare.
Well, she said there are two things that actually slow down cataracts. It's not smoking. I thought, well, that's that problem solved.
Yeah.
And apparently putting sunglasses on when it's sunny.
Yes, yes. I used to say that to my mum. My mum refused to wear sunglasses and her cataracts were...
Why?
I don't know, just some weird old person decision that...
I would love to have heard her theory. It would have been very fun.
I mean, by the end, because she had, her cataracts were so bad, and also because she was diabetic, she had type 1 diabetes, it dries your eyes. So she had these eye drops, and I had bought her various different sunglasses, which I found in various different drawers after she died.
Oh, this was a good pair. I liked this pair.
I was like, oh, hang on a second. I actually one time gave her my sunglasses. I said, Mum, you've got to wear sunglasses. Look, here are my sunglasses. And I gave her mine. Anyway, I got them back, so that's a positive. But yeah, you couldn't tell my mum anything. She was such a dogmatic woman.
She had a definite personality, your mother. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yes, a strong, strong... Well, you both met her, you know.
what she was like.
Yeah.
So, but yes, do wear sunglasses. Well, I don't think I've ever seen... Do you wear sunglasses?
No, and actually, because normally I used to get cheap ones, which probably didn't make no difference, but I've actually got quite expensive ones that I got out of a charity shop for £2.
You know, you don't have to spend £1 million on decent sunglasses anymore, but yes, don't buy the ones that are like 99p in the market because they won't have any UV. And actually, what you're doing is really hurting your eyes because you're not squinting when you should. Maureen, I'm very glad to hear that you are able to see me because I look great. I don't, but it's just nice.
Well, your hair looks less electrified today.
Yeah, it does.
I know. I'm so sorry about last week. I literally look like I've been dragged through a bush backwards.
It was fun, though, to have the camera open up.
Yeah. And also what was hilarious is it took me a while to notice how bad my hair was.
Yeah. I loved it.
How was Norway?
Oh, so lovely. To be honest with you, I was not looking forward to it. Not for any other reason, but I don't know if you feel this sometimes, like, oh, I've got to get on an aeroplane and then I've got to get there and find a hotel and then I've got to do the gig in the evening and then And as it turned out, our flight was cancelled. We were supposed to fly direct to Oslo. We ended up in Bergen. I was travelling with Marcus Birdman, who's a mate and a comedian, had an earlier flight, which meant that he would have made the gig, but my flight was later, which meant that I wouldn't have made the gig. So then I had to do some like negotiating at the desk in Bergen to say, can you put me on an earlier flight? Because I'm working and I'm going to lose out on a day's work because of this. And they were like, oh, no, it looks like that you don't have a flexi ticket. And I went, yeah, I don't have a flexi ticket. So you cannot change your ticket. It's not flexible. I said, well, you were very flexible when you redirected my flight from Oslo to Bergen. That seemed very flexible for you. And I was always inflexible. I just wanted to go to Oslo, but you've sent me to Bergen. And now I'm just saying, I want to go back to Oslo. Can you put me on a flight that's an hour earlier? That's all I'm asking. I said, I'm not being unreasonable here. I think you're being unreasonable. And the girl behind the desk was about 11, panicked and said, yeah, okay. We had to invite like four other people to like
figure out. If they've sent you to the wrong city, then they should be very accommodating. They can't.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got on it. We arrived half an hour before the gig started and I managed to perform. And much to the absolute delight of all the people that live in Oslo. Because they would have missed out on this leisure.
Aren't you going to Austria this week as well?
No, that got cancelled ages ago.
Oh, did it get cancelled?
Apparently, I'm not a pull in Vienna. You're not going to believe this.
To be honest, I saw one poster for it and nobody I talked to in Vienna had heard about it.
Oh, really? Well, they literally were like, oh, no one's bought any tickets. I was like, oh, OK, well, I guess we're not going to Vienna. But I had a lovely time in Oslo, but it was fine. And we had a lovely time and we met up with our friend Chi, who used to run these festivals and gigs in Stavanger and places like that. And so it was really fun to see her. And we went swimming in the fjord every day. So we had a lovely time. It was very civilised. And Maureen, I totally nailed the buffet in breakfast in the mornings to make a lunch.
You did bring your tuna. You did not bring your tuna.
I didn't have space this time. I must have packed really light last time to fit like 68 tins of tuna. But this time, every morning, Marcus and I would like make our little sandwiches, wrap them in a serviette and take them with us.
No. You skip. This is what you got to do moving forward. When you go through the airport, take extra liquid bags and then you have baggies to put the sandwiches in.
Do you know what? He'd done that. He did that.
Yeah, Marcus is a professional.
Yeah. Alison, of course you would have thought of that. I didn't. I just had one little baggie, but it was fine. It fit a sandwich in it. I don't know if this is how, in terms of content, how interesting this is. But
I think everyone's happy to know we all steal sandwiches from the breakfast buffet.
Honestly, it's so expensive in Oslo.
You've got to.
I ordered a coffee. I thought, I'm just going to have a coffee because I'm worth it. And it was, look, okay, it wasn't crazy, but it was still double what it costs here.
How much? £6?
No, it was £4.90. But I was expecting it. I was like, in my head, I was like, maybe it's £11. But you know when like,
I'll remortgage the house.
But in my head.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't buy any booze or anything like that. Oh, no, I did actually one time because it was Mark's birthday. So I bought him a beer. But
there goes that holiday in 2 years.
Oh, well, I mean, I donated a kidney because actually it's cheaper to buy a dialysis machine than it is to like buy a round of beers.
Yeah, no, people don't buy rounds in Norway. That's too expensive.
I bought a round and everyone went, what? Because it was Mark's birthday.
Are you a millionaire?
Yeah, and there was like three Norwegians there and they were like, what? And like nobody bought another round.
No.
no one else bought another round. And then everyone wanted to buy a drink. And I was like, well, you can't. Like, I'm so British. I was like, Marcus can't buy a drink because it's his birthday. So then I was like, well, then I'll give you my money to buy.
No, that's out of order.
No, but it's, I can't have Marcus buying a beer on his birthday.
No, no, I know that's fair enough, but they can't expect you to buy another. If you would have bought everybody a drink, then they should have bought you a drink.
Yeah, but they don't care. They're like, Marcus can get his own drinks. It's his birthday. We all have birthdays.
Well, I bought, what well, all that is, they bought their drinks and then I gave my money to buy me and Marcus a drink. Because I was like, it's a very British rule. If you're not British, we don't let the person that it's their birthday pay for dinner, or rather, I don't. Like, if I'm out with Maureen on a birthday, Maureen's not paying for bloody anything because it's her birthday.
Yeah. Mind you, do that to me when it's not my birthday. You pay for
everything. I do, Maureen.
I mean, to be fair, I think I've paid for one meal, which was an Indian meal in Edinburgh. I think that's it so far.
Oh, did you? Oh, well, thank you for that. That was really nice. Alison, how was your week?
Oh, you know, I was thinking about it, so I had something to come to the table with, because often I get to this point of the podcast, I'm like, well, I don't know.
That was the beginning of the podcast, Alison.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I had a Friday off.
Yay!
There we go. I took a Friday off.
Alison, what?
Yeah, yeah. Because I worked Wednesday, Thursday, and I didn't really have anything in Friday, and I had Saturday and Sunday. So I was like, I even got offered gigs. People were like, do you want a gig? I was like, no.
That's good.
Took a Friday.
Yeah, you should do it. You should, of course.
I drank 3 glasses of Prosecco and I fell asleep by 10:30 on my couch. And it was the greatest Friday. I was like, this is what people do. They just do nothing.
Yeah, great.
I ordered food. I watched a movie, fell asleep.
Watched the final episode of Stranger Things and absolutely
so
just live
good.
Your life.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That was my week. Just the Friday.
No, that's good.
Alison,
I think it's good to say no sometimes.
That's great.
Thanks, guys.
And also, you never say no.
Yes.
I mean, I do. I say no all the time.
Yes, she does.
But Alison, you absolutely... Now that you've done that, you should say to yourself, you know, once every couple of months...
Say a no.
I was going to say once a month, but I could just see the anxiety in your eye. Once every couple of months, you could do that.
I could do
actually,
that.
Actually, do you know what? You don't make some dough that one weekend, but you gain quite a lot from it.
It helped that I worked almost every other night. So then I was like, you can
yeah,
take
so
a
you, I mean,
off.
You know.
I mean, that's classic Alison. I've worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I've got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But I took Friday off.
So, yeah, that was my week. Thanks, guys.
Maureen, what about you? I mean, obviously you went to the opticians and the dentist, which was absolutely banging, but any other business?
Met up with an old friend for dinner, actually, with an old, good old natter. It was in a short film of his in 1998 and we're still in touch.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It was a short film called All About Me, where I played a slightly ditzy woman.
Right. So it's written for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Autobiographical.
Yeah. Biopic is what that was.
And that was about it, really. I did a couple of gigs, the usual scenario.
Well, we've all had a week and that's good. Some of us have had good weeks, some of us had, you know, interim weeks, and some of us have had just restful weeks, and that's great. But let's spoil this section with complete the batshit nature that is Maureen Younger with Happy Body Moment.
I'd managed to block myself as a spam sender. I chose my own number and my own contact to block.
Oh my God, Maureen, I understand, but I don't understand. I've got to shut this down now. I've got to shut it down.
Well, you know, I was worrying. I was thinking, I haven't really done anything being Maureen.
What?
I don't believe that for 2 seconds. She just hasn't noticed. Go on.
I don't believe it.
No, well, that's what I was worried about. I'm just going to close my mail because I think that was my mail that just made a noise there. Oh, now I can't see you guys. What's happened?
Oh, well, there's been Maureen moment number 3.
There we go. It happened live, everyone.
Just switch your video on.
I have...
Now I can't hear you. Now you're muted. Oh my God, this is absolute classic.
I don't have a Be More Maureen for this week. It's happened live.
Wait, it's
actually.
In real time, actually.
I wish you all could see. We're still going. Maureen is laughing. She's trying.
Get back into clean feed, Maureen. That's what you've got to do. Look at her face.
Let's not put pressure on her.
I don't understand why there was any adjustment necessary.
Because her mail was on and it made a ding, so she, which is usually me.
Okay, I think we've just had my Be More Maureen moment.
Yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, all right, we're done. Okay, next section.
I still can't see you guys. What's going on?
Turn your video on, you absolute wombat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There we go. Hi.
Right, so we've just had a Be More Maureen moment where I managed to cut myself off at the podcast. I thought, oh, I'll just close down this thing that I don't need. Anyway, it was Chrome, so it's what we record through.
Oh, my God.
It's the actual search engine that we're using all things on.
I did have a Be More Maureen planned. I didn't actually mean to do one there live, but...
I kind of like that we have a live one. I'm not going to lie. I think that's the first time.
I mean, I could always save the one that I had planned for next week.
I mean, I just think that that is unacceptable behaviour.
That was wonderful.
And just to prove that we are professionals, yeah. Maureen, I would like you to continue with your Be More Maureen moment.
Okay. So I was thinking, because, you know, I thought, well, I haven't done a Be More Maureen moment for a while, you know, which is very like me.
Until like literally 30 seconds ago. Yeah.
So anyway, yesterday I was like, oh, I think I've got an appointment for to do my blood test. So I look at my phone. It's next week. So I'm like, ah, oh, fine. I got the date wrong. So I'm on my computer, I'm working away, and then this reminder comes up. Your blood test is in 15 minutes. So, oh, God, I must have put it in my phone the wrong way. So, you know, so, like, I'm not dressed. So I have to get dressed really quickly. I have to get out of the house. I even get a bus to the... It's not even that far, but I'm like, oh, I'm cutting it tight now. I've only got a few minutes left. Get there about a minute to spare. Like, thank God for that. Put my name in the machine. Your appointment isn't here. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And I think, oh, I know. I'll check the email that I made the appointment with. And it's for next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was waiting. I was like, yeah.
I mean, all of us knew that that was coming. We all knew. We could see it. Mm-hmm. It's like a pullback and reveal. We know what the gag is. We know what it is.
I could see Jen smiling as soon as I started going.
Yeah, that's like she's got the wrong date. It's right. We all know this. And also, but I suppose when you get those reminders, and that's all they are, the reminders,
just panic.
That you do go into a tiz-was.
I should have checked the email, but you know when you think, I've only got 15 minutes. Instead of checking the email, which would have taken 30 seconds, I don't have time to check the email, I just got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all been there.
100%.
I mean, once more. Maybe not 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times, but yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That was my...
That was a good one.
That was the planned Be More Maureen moment as opposed to the unplanned one.
I like the first one better. I'm not going to lie. I like the live...
I feel like it was undermined by the live one.
Yeah.
But that's a double Be More Maureen moment. It's like it's Christmas or something.
You're welcome, everyone.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Right, so that's me sorted.
Maureen, what to say? To Be More...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it.
What was that to say?
To Be More Maureen. I can't say it. It doesn't matter. Two of them in one. Well done.
Well done.
So look, we've got an agony corner and our aunt is Alison and she's absolutely banging. And I say to you, and I'll say it again, do you have a problem? Can nobody else help? Maybe you should call the A team. That is Alison. That's because her name begins with A. So please do keep getting in contact with us with your problems. But before that, I think we have to head over to the June Smith to find out what the problem is. What is it asking Alison?
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Here's what I've done, everyone. I've hijacked it this week. I'm doing my own problem.
Oh, ooh, great.
Because I live in the tropics of Manchester right now. And it is
hot.
29 degrees. Don't get me wrong. Like, I know it's hotter in other places, but this heat is crazy because Manchester is also very damp and very muggy. And it is hot. And I am losing my mind. So my problem is how to stay cool without an air conditioner. Here we go. I did a lot of research.
Oh, this is good.
I thought this would be good for everyone because we're about to go into a heat wave.
About to? I feel like we're tits deep in it.
We're in one, but it's going to get not better, okay? I don't want to say worse, but it's not getting better. So here we go. How to stay cool with no air conditioning unit. All right, number one, buy an air conditioning unit. there you go. That's my solution, everyone. No, they honestly, they are a bit more, I mean, look, it is a chunk of money, but it is a good investment, I think. It's a good investment.
I suppose it's running them though now, isn't it, with all the energy costs going up.
This is the thing. This is the thing. So
yeah, they're not cheap to run.
No, no. So if you do have one, run it in the morning, get some coolness in the house, turn it off, and then shut all blinds, trap in your cool air.
Shut the curtains, yeah, yeah.
But if we can't do that, number one, we know the obvious, stay hydrated. You need to drink twice as much water as you normally would drink, okay? You need to have more water. And I'm not saying juices, I'm saying water, everyone. Right now is the time to up that O2. Take cold bath or shower. Obviously, again, another nice one just to like give yourself a little moment, especially if you're at home.
I do that.
It's very important. Especially for women, it's good to like rinse ourselves down, cool ourselves off because this heat can add a lot of other issues as a female. We'll bring that up. But anyway, I won't get into it. So cool showers or baths. Use cold wash towels on your wrists and on your neck. So if you're starting to feel really hot, just put some cool towels on the insides of your wrist and on your neck for a few minutes. That'll cool you down as well. That'll give you a little pep. Use box fans. Now, obviously we know, use fans, but I think sometimes people use fans wrong. Okay, Maureen's got a fold-out fan. She Whoa. Is a Spanish dancer all of a
She's
sudden.
She's gone old school.
Love it.
Bazumba.
But yeah, use fans. What you want to do is actually, if you have a couple of fans, you want to get some airflow going through your house. And actually, you want one of the fans to be blowing hot air out of your house. So if you can have a fan that is by like a window, but not right at the window, so you can like generate some cool air. And then if you can have another fan actually pointing out another window, you will cause circulation to be pulling the hot air out of the house. That was one thing I read. And I was like, oh, isn't that smart? Because everyone thinks just blast the fans on you. No, 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 no. Create a wind tunnel through your house to be pulling out the hot air. That is something you can really do. Close your curtains, okay? Blinds. Also, get yourself some blackout blinds. It is this weather where blackout blinds really help because number one, it blocks out the sun. Number two, once you get some cool air in the house, it keeps the cool air in the house. Very big key right now. Sleep in breathable linens, okay? Cotton is one of the most breathable. And this was an interesting thing. You know, normally when you go for cotton sheets or whatever, you're looking for a high thread count. In hot weather, the lower the thread count, the more air that gets through the cotton. When you have more thread pushed together, it's more of like a sealant.
Oh, it's denser.
It traps the hot air in. So if you have a lower thread count sheet, it actually gets more air out. If you have a lower floor, let's say your bedroom's upstairs, but you have a lower... You might want to start thinking about sleeping in the lower floor, right? Just for a few nights when it's real hot. Because if your bedroom's up top, it can get real hot. I look, in North America, basement. They say everyone sleep in your basement, but we don't really have basements here. So lower level, even just a couple of nights, if you need to do that, trust me, you'll thank yourself. Close the doors of rooms that you're not using. Okay, because what you're trying to do is keep the cool air in certain, like in your small area. If you have all these doors open, what is happening is more hot air is circulating. So shut the doors of any rooms you're not using. That's a big thing, too. It is for heat as well as for cool air. So shut the doors. Use the exhaust. Okay, the exhaust fan, you know, the suction fan in your kitchen, turn it on. It pulls out hot air. Same with your bathroom fan. Now and again, crank those suckers on. They'll help to get rid of some of the hot air. I thought that was an interesting thing. Install energy efficient light bulbs. You wouldn't believe it, but regular light bulbs actually give off a lot of heat. So if you're sitting in a room with your curtains closed, trying to keep things cool, but you've got these regular light bulbs, that is creating heat. Cook in the morning, obviously. If you're going to do any cooking, try to get it done in the morning. Use your slow cookers, people. This is the time to get out the slow cooker. Also, barbecue season. Don't forget, you can cook outside. It is that time of year, everyone. Get outside if you can cook. Of course, eat frozen treats, whatever it is, frozen yogurts, ice lollies. That also goes for your animals. If you've got pets, please be throwing ice cubes in their water. Also, dogs love to chase ice cubes just around like the kitchen floor. So be using ice cubes for your pets as well. Don't go overboard on the sugary stuff, though, because your body, when it's burning sugar, it's creating more heat as well as protein. Cut back, and I never say cut back on your protein, but in hot weather, it takes more energy for your body to process protein. So you are going to be hotter if you're eating high protein meals. maybe midday, maybe your protein meals are later on in the evening, however you want to do it. Don't leave any appliances on, okay? If your computer is on, they even said TVs plugged in, like certain things, anything that would generate heat, if you can unplug them, unplug them. This made me laugh. You can make a homemade air conditioning unit, and you can. It's real cheap. Get yourself a fan and a bucket of ice. Boom, you're on your way. There you go. Put the bucket of ice in front of the fan. Have that blowing on you for a little bit. That gives you some cool air. That made me laugh because my sister, one time, we had a heat wave in Toronto. She lived below me. She was going through this period of her life where she was trying to find direction, what she was going to do. She didn't know what her job was. And I went downstairs, and she had these three things written on her fridge. And I laughed so hard. Number one, make ice. 2, put in front of fan. 3, follow your dreams. So there you go, everyone. Follow your dreams. My sister dreamed of a cool climate at that point. So follow her dreams. Go out. Go visit public buildings with some air conditioning. Go to a library. Maybe cinemas are what people like to do.
Go to a museum.
Yeah. Just something with some air conditioning. Go be cultural. Maureen would encourage that. And also get yourself some air conditioning. That's very nice. Plants. If you got big plants, guess what? You can put them in the window and block out some sunlight. And you're also doing your plants a big favor and helping you. So strategically placing your plants. Again, make sure, this was a big one, insulation in your house. Make sure you've got proper insulation. Insulation, again, also keeps cool air in as well as hot air. So in the summertime, it really helps. Strip cool, same with like cracks around your doors. You know how they always have those strip. You always think it's for winter. It's not. It's for summer too, to keep the cool air in. A dehumidifier. Dehumidifiers really help because there's a lot of excess warm moisture.
I've got one of those.
Yeah.
Stick it on and like 2 or 3 days later, it's just full. You're like, what the hell is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, last thing, if you have a bit of money, I never understood why people have awnings over top of their windows to prevent the sun from coming in the windows. So if you've got windows, if you've got a backyard, there's a lot of cheap awnings I saw on Amazon that you can just install over your windows, which will give you a bit more shade, which in turn helps the inside of the house to be a bit cooler. And the last thing I want to say in this hot weather, everyone, take a nap. Don't plan your schedule as heavy as you normally would, because honestly, this heat is exhausting, and just even breathing and staying alive in this sort of heat is draining. So give yourself a break, take a little bit off your workload, and just know that you are surviving heat.
If you're working from home.
Yeah.
They were discussing that on the news yesterday, actually, and they were saying that because we're going to be getting hotter weather, that in Britain we're going to have to start doing the Mediterranean thing of, you know, you work early in the morning, you have a siesta. Because I used to live in Spain. And once you live in Spain, you realise why they have a siesta. Because it's too hot.
It's too hot.
So hot.
When I lived in Mallorca, I'd be sweating just from lying in the bed. You're just pouring in sweat. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're going to have to start having to rearrange how we do things so that we don't do stuff midday. The other thing I use is, I use a spritzer. Have a...
Oh, Maureen. Is that just water? Is it just a little...
It is something. I got it from Boots. But
I think it's water with a bit of alcohol in it as well. Because when it hits your skin, it cools it down.
It cools you down. And it's really good on the tube. You know, when you're really hot and you're just...
Oh, the tubes. I would avoid the tube if you can.
Yeah.
Avoid any sort of underground.
Peppermint is a good little thing to put in the water too. Apparently peppermint cools you down and you can, the soothing.
Yeah, you can get a lot of these little... So this is like a little... You can't really see on the office in the podcast, but it's a very handy handbag size. And also I've got my little fan, my old school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your old school fan. I always find putting my feet in cold water helps.
Yeah, soak your feet. Yeah.
Because if you put your feet in cold water, it tricks your core to cool down. But also that thing about putting it on the back of your neck is really... Yeah, that's a game changer.
Some people talked about putting sheets in the freezer or cooling down. Now, that's bogus. Don't do that, because what happens is you end up getting hotter. Because if you're really cold and you go to bed, your body starts to generate heat. And then also you just wake up with wet sheets. So don't do that.
Yeah. The other thing you can do is you can put like a wet sheet in front of a window that's open. So as the warm air comes in, it cools down. I've done it. I did it when the children were little. But when it's this hot, the sheet dries. So we're not good with heat, are we, in this country? Because we're not used to it. And because, like you said, our heat is humid and icky.
Heavy.
Heavy. I'm very fortunate. I live by the sea. Ooh. So...
Yeah, you get the sea breeze.
It's cooler here. It's about 4 or 5 degrees cooler in Brighton than it is in London. And also, I get to go and swim in the sea if I'm really hot. I don't want to rub it in, but it's better. It's much better.
No, we know.
So move to Brighton, everybody. That's
everyone,
no,
go
no,
to
don't,
Brighton.
Don't you dare. Don't you bloody dare. You stay where you are. Alison, thank you very much. What a useful Ask Alison. Not saying that they're not always useful. They're always brilliant. But this was useful to me, and that's very important.
Yeah, yeah. It's all I could think about yesterday, too. I was like, I'm just so hot. I'm just going to write about hot. I'm hot.
How can you be, like, I'm sleeping with, like, I'm not even got clothes on. I'm naked. And I'm like, how can I still be the... Alison, you look naked. You're flashing your jacket.
Oh, you've got a strapless top. Oh, I know that black dress. I know that dress.
Yeah, I live in these black dresses.
Your muumuu.
Yeah, it's my muumuu. Yeah.
What's a muumuu?
We've talked about muumuus before, haven't we?
Okay.
It's like a strapless dress all the way down to your ankles.
And it just hangs.
And you just, everything hangs loose. No underwear. You do you.
It's the greatest.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Maureen, you look surprised that you're here.
I've just woken up.
And yet she still has applied mascara and lipstick. I just want to point out.
It's called being professional, Alison.
Now, it is time to find out what each and every one of us have been doing with our spare time on Televisione.
Well, I watched a film on, it's either Amazon or Netflix, I can't remember which one, called Mothering Sunday.
Never heard of it.
It's got Olivia Colman in it. I mean, she's in it for about 5 minutes, but you know, you...
Of course it's got Olivia Colman in it.
And it's got Glenda Jackson in it again for about 3 minutes.
Glenda Jackson, wow.
It's got Odessa Youngs and the guy who played Prince Charles in...
The Crown.
The Crown. And I was actually quite looking forward to it. I have to say, I found it a bit slow. And it's all set just after the Second World War. Well, some of it's set. There's a lot of going back and forth in time. And it's like, you know, this guy of a young, posh family and all his brothers have been killed in the First World War. She's a servant girl and they're having an affair. But I kind of think, oh, I've seen so many of these films where, you know, it's like after the First World War and it's dealing with rich families. Olivia Colman, she's lost her children, so she's very bitter and angry. And I just found it very slow. There's a lot of nudity in it, which I presume is because it's based on a book and it's in the book, but there's a hell of a lot of nudity in it. I just found it, let's put it this way, I wouldn't watch it again. It's had very good reviews. And I'm sure there's a lot of symbolism, and which has just passed me by. I just didn't get it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not really worried about symbolism. I just want to watch a film that I enjoy. I mean, if the symbolism is there, wonderful. But if that's the thing, I'm like, I didn't enjoy it, but the symbolism was quite something. I'm out. It wasn't for you, Maureen. That's OK.
No, I mean, I did watch it to the end, so that's something. But I wouldn't, like, be in a hurry to watch it again.
Yeah. I haven't seen a decent film in ages. Oh, genuinely. Like, even all those Oscar winners and stuff, I watched all of them and I was like, yeah, I was pretty bored in through most of them. I find I'm much more excited by television than films. I rarely enjoy a film these days. And I find the films that I do enjoy are the ones that I've already watched before and I know I like them. There, Maureen, I've said it. Did you hear me? I'm watching a film more than once. What is that? Who am I? Maureen?
Maureen Younger is who you are.
So have you been watching? Did you have time to watch anything, given you were in Norway all the whole time?
I didn't. I really didn't. But I did make time to watch the final episode of Stranger Things.
Hey, it was great, wasn't it?
I just absolutely cannot tell you how much I love that series. And season four, for me, was the peak.
Would I like it, do you think?
No.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think.
No, I don't think you would. I really don't. Because it's not horror.
It's not horror.
But it is creepy.
Okay.
And also, it's not a children's show particularly.
No.
I think it could be for teenagers. It's definitely not for children. But the first series, they are children. And so a big chunk of it is you're watching children navigate their way at school, navigate their way through this weird mystery that's happening, this girl that they discover in the woods, this whole kind of conspiracy that's happening around them and the town that they live in. Everyone was wanging on about it. And I was like, I'll watch it, but I bet I think it's shit. And I just have always thought it was brilliant. And I think there is a secondary layer of the fact that the writing is really good and the acting is brilliant. Even though they're children, their acting actually gets better as they get older. It's all got the backdrop of the 80s, which is just the best.
Which is why Kate Bush is back on the chart.
Yeah, it's like my childhood. My childhood was that decade. I was about the age of those children when they're that age. Like in 1986, I was about 11 or whatever it is. Or they might be a few years older than me. I really enjoyed it. But this fourth series, wow, amazing. That'd be the final episode. It's so good. You're so invested in these kids and you're so invested in their story. And also in season four, they're all having a different adventure, aren't they? They're sort of split into these groups that are all having a separate adventure. And then the adults are having their own adventure or horror show, I should say. And I just love the way they map all of these stories together throughout the series. I thought that was very, really great writing. I was so impressed with the writing.
So many great stories. That pinnacle moment in the last episode, you know, like just that moment where you're like, how is this gonna?
I'm watching it going, I don't think I could be more stressed.
And it's been a long time since I've been on the edge of my seat like that. And, you know, I watch scary things or creepy things all the time. That, I think season four, too, sorry to jump in on your TV, Jen, but I think.
No, go, jump away.
Season four, why I loved it so much is because it is the real coming of age moment for all of them. And as a girl, I think particularly watching Seven, who is the main girl in it.
11.
11, sorry. I don't know why I said Seven. 11. Going through this season, it just, I don't know, it rings so true for me because, you know, growing up as a gal, you know, you have a lot of self-confidence issues, fitting in, that belonging. And I think that goes into adulthood, even though we try to avoid thinking that it is related, but it is. And I think that's why season four for me just really touched me and made me go, oh, because you see her going through what you know we all go through. And I love that it's like, I don't know, it's just such a great, I stand behind you, Jen. Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. And if you haven't watched it, and actually, having said that I don't think Maureen would like it, I think you would.
I was just thinking the stories are fantastic, though.
The storytelling is so good. You might really enjoy it. And also, who doesn't love Steve, right? Maureen's going to love Steve. We all love Steve. Steve's great.
Yeah.
So Maureen, I would say...
maybe give it a go.
Have a look.
Give it a whirl. And also the first episode, I always say to anyone watching any new series, you cannot stop on the first episode. It's just exposition gone crazy. And then the story really gets moving.
Yeah, that's why I liked The Ministry of Time, because the first episode, which is a lot of exposition, was also brilliant. It was like a great story, and exposition didn't get way of telling a good episode. That's very rare to find, isn't it?
I mean, you might find that it doesn't. I can't remember the first episode, if I'm honest. So I'm just saying that in case you're like...
so long ago, yeah.
But I just think it is a phenomenal... well done, the Duffer Brothers. Do they need to hear that from us, from WTB Podcast? Well done.
Well definitely. Done.
I think they need to hear it from us, and you're welcome. Alison, what's your horror film? What horror awaits us?
Yeah, okay, so my horror pick of the week. Because I was thinking about hot weather, summertime, so I kind of went the summertime theme. And there were a lot of horror movies, you know, summer camps. We could do Sleepaway Camp, which is an old classic of my, you know, I like it. Kind of a questionable ending for nowadays. But the movie I did choose, though, is called The Final Girls.
I mean, I've never heard of the... Where do you watch these films?
I find them. The Final Girls. You can find this on Amazon Prime. Here's the breakdown. In the midst of processing her grief, the daughter of a late famous scream queen from the 80s finds herself pulled into the world of her mother's most popular movie, a slasher film called Camp Bloodbath. A bunch of friends get trapped inside their favorite horror film. In order to escape, they must fight off the film's maniacal killer. I know it sounds ridiculous, but these people get pulled into a movie. And what's so lovely is the main girl has lost her mother. So she's pulled into this movie and she's like going through this movie with her mom and like getting to spend time again with her mom. And it's like the process of grief. It's that like Camp Bloodbath. Could you choose any more of a ridiculous...
I mean, it's what it says on the tin, surely.
100%. And it's just fun ridiculousness. There's not a lot of gore. It's like a lighthearted, almost humorous...
It sounds quite camp.
It's very camp and very camp, fun. Camp. And both Danny and I were just blown away with how much we enjoyed this movie. So as far as lighthearted, fun kind of horror, this is the type of movie I want to recommend to anyone. I think this sort of movie will make people enjoy the horror genre a little bit. The Final Girls, 2015. Again, you can find it on Amazon Prime. It's an enjoyable film, everyone.
Alison, what a great rec. Check it out. And it's available on Amazon Prime, as it appears to be every single horror movie ever made.
Everything. Yeah.
I think Amazon have really gone, no, we'll take, does nobody else want it? Yeah, we'll have it. Bring it here. Put it on.
Amazon, put it on there. Alison will love it.
Even I'm in a horror film on Amazon Prime. So it just goes to show. In fact, Maureen's probably on one. She's not even aware of it. She's... I don't even know what we'd call it. I think we'd call it something like The Apartment. So you'd think it'd be something fun, but it's just going into Maureen's apartment and trying to make your way through the kitchen without dying.
The Apartment. That's really funny.
I'd give you one of my cups to drink from.
Yeah, you're poisoned. And then or suddenly you grow another head out of your neck. It's like, oh, you haven't had one of Maureen's coffees, have you? Maureen, we're heading back to you, as we always do at this point in the podcast, because it's time to corner your culture. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Well, this week I'm talking about horror movies.
Get out!
Alison, so next week you're going to talk about an Austrian horror movie just to kind of balance it back up.
An Austrian horror movie.
I'll see if I can find one by that time.
That's your homework for the week. So we'll see what Alison thinks, as you're the expert. And first of all, I'm going to do a British horror movie from 1973, The Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Have you seen that?
I've seen the original and the redone with good old Nicolas Cage.
Any good?
I mean, it's...
Does it need to be remade?
You see, there's certain films where you just don't bother.
You don't need to remake them. And this is the problem. They remake horrors that are unnecessary. So I personally would stand behind the first one.
Yep. It was directed by Robin Hardy, stars Edward Woodward, and he's a very dour Scottish religious policeman. It's got Britt Eklund in it and Christopher Lee.
Do you remember that dance that Britt Eklund does in it?
Yes.
That's just absolutely batshit.
And basically, Woodward's a police sergeant. He goes to this isolated Scottish island of Summer Isle, and he's looking for this missing girl. And then he's appalled to see what these inhabitants are kind of practicing a form of paganism.
Yeah.
And the final scene in it is really, really horrific. It's not too gory because otherwise I wouldn't be watching it.
Yeah.
But the final bit, you're like blinking
out. It's a mystery as well because you're seeing it through his eyes.
Mm.
So you're trying to figure it out at the same time as he is, which I really like when you're in the shoes of the protagonist, trying to figure out what is happening.
Yeah.
And... like, you know something's not right from the get-go, of course, but you don't necessarily know. For anyone that hasn't watched it, we won't spoil it for you, but you won't necessarily anticipate. It's, I mean, it's unlikely that you don't know what happens at the end of The Wicker Man. If you've been living in a cave. But in case you don't, if you watch the film again, there's so many clues that are dropped along the way that tell you exactly what's going to happen. But when you watch it for the first time, you're totally bewildered by certain things that are happening in the movie. Britt Eklund's dance is certainly one of those things. It's a cult classic.
It is a classic. It's been described as the Citizen Kane of horror movies.
Yeah.
I think it was voted the sixth best ever British movie at some point by some people.
But I saw it in... You know when they used to do those outdoor, I don't know if they still do it.
Oh, those are outdoor cinema things.
Yeah, sort of an outdoor cinema. And even though we were outside, I was still shat myself. I was still like, yeah.
Yeah, it's really well done. Now, the next one, I say it's a horror, but it's been described as a thriller. So we'll see what Alison thinks, which is also from 1973. Don't Look Now.
Oh,
absolutely.
Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie.
With the grossest sex scene ever.
Oh, my God. That sex scene goes on for days.
I wouldn't say it's gross, but I just say it's very explicit. And obviously, it's very controversial because that was a very... It's still explicit for these days, let alone in the 70s.
They're fucking...
You see Donald Sutherland's rear end in a lot of them. It just...
It doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. Don't watch it with your parents, is what I would say.
No, don't.
Which I did, and that was a big mistake.
Oh, no.
No,
but I think it's a horror.
I think it's a horror. I don't think it's a thriller.
Absolutely. Again, it's about grief.
Yes.
And it's very sinister.
Mm-hmm.
And
supernatural.
Yeah, supernatural. And much the same way as The Wicker Man, you are trying to figure it out in real time with this couple who are grief-stricken by the loss of their child.
And it's based on a story by Daphne du Maurier, which I didn't know.
Do you know what? Because I've got like a menopause brain. I think somebody had told me that at the time and I was like, oh, that... And then promptly forgot it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind reading the original because she's a very good writer. But Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland, they play a married couple, Laura and John Baxter, and they're visiting Venice. So their child has just died in an accident.
Venice is such a great backdrop for this to happen because it's all the winding little streets.
And I don't know if you've ever been to Venice. It's easy to get lost in Venice. It's a complete and utter nightmare. And so Donald Sutherland's character has accepted a commission to restore a church. And then they meet two sisters, and one of them's a clairvoyant. And she tells them that their daughter's trying to contact them and warn them of danger. And at first, you know, they're very dismissive. But then John starts to experience mysterious sightings of the daughter.
It's so creepy.
Yeah.
It's a horror in that it's scary, I guess.
Yeah, it's not scary.
In the traditional sense of what a horror is, it's not...
It's not gory at all.
No, not at all.
But you don't need gore to be a whore. Yeah.
No.
I actually find that these sort of films stay with me.
Yes, definitely.
For such a long time afterwards.
Because these films were made to emotionally stay with us. New films are just to shock us or CGI or it's not. Yeah, I'm with you.
Right. Another classic. Let's see. American Werewolf in London.
Oh, I mean, come on.
One of
come
my favourite films.
From 1981. If you haven't seen it, it is a fantastic, fantastic film.
Funny.
It's so funny.
Written and directed by John Landis. It's very funny, but very scary. I mean, I do scream.
The last scene is...
Yeah.
And in fact, when they're out on the...
On the moor.
On the moor at the beginning. Remember the Alamo.
Stay on the path. It's got David Norton and Jenny Agutter in it. It's got one of the loveliest love scenes in it when they're in the shower.
Oh, all of these have got like... pretty heavy sex scenes in them.
And so there's two American backpackers, David and Jack, and they're attacked by a werewolf while travelling around England. Jack's killed and David is wounded and he wonders whether he'll become a werewolf under the next full moon. And it was a great success, critically and commercially. It won the first ever Academy Award for Best Makeup and it's become a cult classic. And I haven't seen it for a while, but when he turns into a werewolf, and we're not giving the game away, that was like top of the range special effects. Mm-hmm. It was considered amazing how they did it. I don't know how it stands the test of time because I haven't seen it for a while, but it was like people were just so impressed by the way that they did that. And there are some very funny scenes in it.
Oh, some really funny scenes. Every time his friend comes back,
yeah,
he's like decomposing, isn't he? And he comes back and bits of his body are falling off. His friend in it is so funny. It's really funny.
These movies are so great, too, because like you said, when you look at the makeup and the effects, this was all man-made at this time, right?
Yeah. It's not CGI.
That's the other beauty of it. It's like an art form. So when you can appreciate that, you take a step back and go, think about what they were doing with what they had at that time, and it's mind-blowing.
People were like, blinking heck, in the 80s, that was just amazing. And the last one, obviously, a British classic, Carry On Screaming.
I mean, what?
I've never seen Carry On Screaming.
Have you not seen Carry On Screaming?
Alison, it's not a horror film. It's a Carry On film.
It's a piss take of the Hammer horror movies. You should watch it. It's one of the better Carry On movies. It's got Harry H. Corbett as Detective Sergeant Sidney Bung, Kenneth Williams as Dr. Otto Watt.
Kenneth Williams was in all of them.
Yeah, and Fenella Fielding, who's a one of a kind, it has to be said, as Valeria Watt. And it's quite funny. It's basically they're using people to put in their wax museum stuff.
Oh, I love stuff like that. Was it like the original House of Wax?
No.
No. Okay. It's just a piss take of all the Hammer horror movies, which were really popular at the time.
It's a Carry On film. If you're in any doubt, it's called Carry On Screaming. I don't know if these Carry On films left this country, but they were like absolutely one of the most popular films.
Yes, Alice has never seen them.
I don't know what a Carry On film is.
It was basically really
camp, full of innuendo,
cheaply made British comedies. So the best one to watch is Carry On Cleopatra, where there's a famous line.
Are they literally all called Carry On?
Yeah, yeah. And Kenneth Williams was like playing Julius Caesar. So if you know Kenneth Williams, I mean, that's preposterous. And when he gets stabbed, his famous line is infamy, infamy.
They've all got it, infamy.
That's great.
It's like postcard humour. It works from the fact that the British are oppressed. It's got Barbara Windsor in it. I mean, it's probably not very politically correct at the moment, but they're very, very British. Lots of puns and lots of, you know, repressed women and repressed men and nobody getting laid, which is very British.
Yes, I love three of those. I think we could have...
Well, Carry On Screaming, Carry On Cleopatra, and what's the other one you like?
No, I was talking about the three horror films you recommended.
Oh, okay.
Well, the first three, I've never seen Carry On Screaming, but Maureen, on board with all of those, and I'm delighted you chose horror films in your cultural corner.
There you go.
I've got a real challenge now. Austrian horror film I've got to find. Jeez.
Yeah, good luck with that, Alison. By the way, you absolutely don't have to finish it. Well, no one was expecting that from you.
So fun.
And also, it's rare that I know anything that you're talking about in your cultural...
I know!
And actually, Alison and I have seen all three of those. Well, I've seen all four of them. Well done.
Well, this is probably my favorite episode because there was so much horror talk. Oh my God, that was great. We've discussed Heat. We've discussed things, what we've done this week. We've watched a live Be More Maureen moment. I don't know what else that could be in this episode. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. We want to know, Jen. What the hell is getting your goat this week?
I don't want to lose my shit over... Okay, this is it. Right, Jen's goat is happening now. I cannot handle this! Oh, so many things. You know, I actually... Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by what is getting my goat... I can't even bear to listen to my past goats because I think if I listened to them, I'd be like, somebody needs to section that woman. She's not well. But on that note, I purchased some tickets for my good partner, Chloe Martin, to go away to see Pearl Jam last weekend at Hyde Park. I bought those tickets in 2019 for her birthday. And many years later now, the date loomed and our tickets did not arrive.
No.
That's basically what happened was. So I got one set of tickets. So it was a weekend ticket. So I bought VIP tickets. So the cloak could get what it allows you is it allows you to get like a shortcut to the front of the stage and it gives you a separate area for drinks and toilets and all that sort of thing. Anyway, I couldn't go because I was in Oslo. So I said, doesn't matter. I'll just transfer the tickets to you. Anyway, the long or the short of it is I had purchased two tickets, but they had only issued one. So I'd actually only paid for one set of tickets. I had received a receipt saying I'd paid for two weekend tickets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had clicked to pay two weekend tickets, mm-hmm. but for whatever reason, they'd only charged for one. I'm not the only person this happened to. This happened to a lot of people. And I got one. Of course, this is like 3 years ago and the thing got cancelled so many times, I haven't really looked at it. And sure. Then when I look at the receipt, it says you've purchased two weekend tickets, two pairs of weekend tickets. So two for Friday and two for Saturday. But what I'd actually got was one for Friday and one for Saturday. Now, my... issue is this. Basically, we would have to pay another £200 to then both go. And my thing was, we couldn't go on the Saturday, so we were willing to give those tickets away. But my thing is that I gave those tickets to Chloe, then she had to find someone to go and then find someone that would spend £100 on that ticket. So what I'm saying is, if I was going to buy just two tickets, I would have bought two for the Friday or two for the Saturday. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
We had one for the Friday and one for the Saturday. We can't use those. So either we drop the Friday or we drop the Saturday. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm.
So all I said to Festicket, who issued the tickets, is can I have a refund for the Saturday? Because we've had to buy an extra ticket for the Friday because obviously we don't want one ticket for Friday and one ticket for Saturday. We want either two tickets for Friday or two tickets for Saturday.
Yeah.
And I said, you told me I had two tickets for both days 3 years ago. And you've just discovered on the day of issuing the tickets that that's not the case. You could have emailed me earlier saying, due to an administrative error, you've only paid for one set of tickets. If you would like two sets of tickets, or we can refund you that ticket and you can have two for the Friday, which is what I've said. I've said, well, I don't want that Saturday ticket because we I don't want Chloe to go on Friday and me to go on Saturday. That's insane. Can we have them both for the Friday? Anyway, the long and the short of it is I've asked Fest Ticket in 300 different ways. Please, can I just have a refund for that Saturday? Because we paid for that ticket for Saturday. We bought another ticket. And they just won't get back to me. And it's just, they've ghosted me. They will not reply to an email. They don't reply on Twitter. They don't reply on Instagram. They just don't reply. So now I don't know what to do to get my money back. Am I being unreasonable?
No.
If they've made a mistake, and also, obviously, if it's like 3 years...
They've had so much time to figure out that they made an administrative error. I don't want one ticket for Friday and one ticket for Saturday. I want two for Friday or two for Saturday. And I don't think I'm being unreasonable to say, well, then can you just refund me that ticket for Saturday that I wasn't able to use? Because I couldn't use it.
Well, they should have transferred it to the Friday.
If your receipt says...
My receipt says I've got two sets of tickets. Yeah.
Well, then you've got two sets of tickets.
I know, but I can't get through to these pricks. They just don't get back to you.
Well, or you can't access them because I want to talk to Virgin.
You can't talk to them.
You can't talk to them. There's no phone number and there's no email. And on the letters, there's not even an address. And you're like, so you make it impossible for people to talk to you. On today, there was a guy talking about Vodafone and his mother died and they refused to cancel her contract unless her husband knew, who's frail. He knew what date she'd signed the initial contract.
I've had that.
What, with your mum?
Well, with your mum, you don't even need to contact Vodafone. There is a telephone number that you can call and a government body will do it for you. I think it's called One Call or One Phone Call or something. And all of that is done on your behalf. All of your utilities, all of that, they should notify you.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But phone companies, so you can do it through this government organisation so that you don't have to do it yourself, which is one of the hard things, as you know, when you lose someone that you love, is then you're left with all of this administration and admin.
And you keep getting bills in their names.
And you keep getting bills and bills. And so when I registered my mum's death, they gave me that information and I was able to phone them up and they do all of it for you. And that is to stop companies doing that sort of nonsense. Fortunately, my mum only had a pay-as-you-go phone, so...
Well, she didn't like to use, did she?
Do you know what? By the end, she absolutely was. I tell you what was... Yeah, she was really using it. She was using her phone all the time. She was Googling. I told you she spent... I had a half-an-hour conversation about how many vitamins were in a cucumber.
Every time I eat a cucumber, I think of your mother. I just want you to know that. Every time.
Yeah. I mean, she just Googled vitamins, cucumber... You're not going to believe this, Jennifer, but you think there's no vitamins in a cucumber, but there's so many vitamins in a cucumber. Anyway, that was a 45-minute chat. But we're going through my mum's house at the moment. It's quite cathartic. It's quite difficult, but it's quite cathartic. And Chloe found an iPad, right?
What?
Yeah. My brother had bought my mum a top-of-the-range iPad, right? It was still in the box. It's never been used. I was like, I said to Stephen, I found an iPad in Mum's. He went, oh, yeah, I bought that for Mum. And I went, she's never used it. She never even told me she had it. I mean, it's now not top of the range. It's old. It's like, I think he bought it for in 2016. I mean, it still works. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, that is absolute classic that my mum had this really, like, you know, not one of the small ones, but a big tablet with a keyboard and everything. Stephen had gone, I'll buy you this, Mum, I'll buy you that. And then she'd like never even taken it out of the box. I was like, oh, God. Absolute, what a waste of money. Anyway, I've been using it. It's great. That's what's got my goat. It's companies taking the piss and then not taking responsibility. And you're right, Maureen. We find this more and more that companies make it so that you...
Can't contact them.
You cannot contact them. You have a... Frequently asked questions. Often on those frequently asked questions, it's like that none of these are the thing that I want, which is a bloody refund, you bastard.
Or you have one of these bots and it doesn't answer because it's got like three set replies.
How can I help you?
Yeah, how can I help you? And then you do this and they go, da-da-da, and it's like, no, that isn't what I want. They're just useless. Or if you go on the phone and phone them up, you're on the phone for like 40 minutes.
I paid for refund insurance on it as well. Great, buy refund insurance on a company that you can't contact them to get your refund. And now, obviously, that date's gone and I can't refund a ticket that's already, we didn't use. It's happened. It's crazy. So anyway, Fest Ticket. If you find yourself in a situation where you're buying a ticket and you have to buy it through Fest Ticket, I would urge you to see if you can buy it through someone else because they are clowns. And should there be any problems with your ticket, you will not get a refund, even if you have refund insurance. So just a little word of warning there. You're welcome. I, of course, will be screaming into a bin later today to let out that anger. absolutely livid. I'm dealing with it quite well. Every now and again, I try not to think about it. And when I have to think about it, I punch a pillow.
But then in the back of your mind, you just hear, even through. 2 weeks in a row, we've sang Pearl Jam. You can't even stop.
Can't. It's there to stay. Chloe loved it.
Jeremy's stalking.
Come on, Maureen, get in.
I have no idea. I don't know who they are.
If anything, I dodged a bullet not going.
I would not go to one of those, no.
It's been my favourite episode yet, guys.
Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.